Moncrief on News Talk.
This week, this weekend, the Dublin Art Source Fair will contain all sorts of works of art, including pictures of the heavens. Tom O'Donoghue is an astrophotographer. He takes pictures of galaxies. Tom, good afternoon.
Thank you for the invite.
So could you start by describing the process? Because as I understand it, it's not just a, you know, it's just not a matter of setting up a telescope and snapping a picture. It takes quite some time.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I have a black and white cool camera on my telescope. So because it's black and white, I'll use red, green and blue filters. So the idea will be that you construct a picture through red, then green, then blue, and then you assemble red, green and blue into a color image. And then you take black and white photos where the detail is, and you layer that in top of the color image to get the detail in there. So it's like composing a song. You know, there are different layers. It's like having guitar, bass and drums. All are needed to kind of for the finished article.
Yeah, and there are extraordinary images. So it might be a stupid question. Are they the colours they actually are, or would we only know that if we travelled out there and had a look at them?
No. I get asked that a lot. The thing is that the reason why I'm taking long exposures is because there's not a lot of light coming from these objects.
Mm.
So the colour is real because it's going through those red, green, and blue filters. Now there is additional data that you can add for different chemical reactions that give different light. But effectively, that is the actual colour coming from those objects, yeah. You'll saturate them a little bit to enhance them, but it's the correct colour, yeah.
Okay, so if you did, you know, if it was ever possible to be in a spaceship, you would see these kind of extraordinary bursts of colour.
Absolutely, and if you look at the planets, you can see the colour of Mars and Saturn and Jupiter through a telescope. And the reason being is that they're just bright enough that, you know, that the sensors in your eye can see those colours. With the photographs, again, they're so dim that you need lots and lots of data, hours and hours of data to actually get that information onto the picture, onto the camera.
And I assume as well, the further away it is, the longer it takes.
It's more about the brightness of the object. So the biggest thing with the telescope is really the aperture. Like some of the objects, for example, like at Art Source, I'll be showing quite a few different ranges of types of photography, but the smallest objects in there will be galaxies, and they are the furthest away, but galaxies themselves are huge. And you're talking about maybe a quarter the size of the moon if you were to look up at the moon, but you need a long focal length to kind of show a bit of detail in it. So for those ones, yeah, it's all about brightness, but the apparent size is what we call it, is a big factor as well.
Yeah. How far away can you take pictures? I mean, at what distance are the objects that you can take pictures of?
But we were just talking about the other day. So there's got one picture there. It's called the Whirlpool Galaxy, which is a great Irish connection with Lord Ross down in Burr. And we were looking up, it's 31 million light years away. So if you can think about it in two ways, that the light you see from it now, or if you look in a telescope or take a photo, is 31 million years old. Or else you're basically looking back, you know, it's taken 31 million years for that light to get to us. So looking at astronomical objects, it's a bit like a time machine, effectively.
Yeah. And is it more tricky to take photographs of things within our own galaxy? Because we're in one arm of the galaxy, and are there other arms, if you like, in the way of all of them?
Yeah, excellent question. So another section I'll be doing is the Milky Way, and it's the Milky Way core. So during the summer months, we are looking through the very centre of our galaxy, and it's pretty low in the south. But you're looking at like the millions and millions of stars towards the center of our galaxy. Now the nice thing is that at least it's bright because there's so much starlight coming from there. But when you look out in winter, the opposite side, it's a bit dimmer, so more exposures and longer times are needed. But the Milky Way in summer is kind of one of the things that we're always chasing to get good photographs of.
Can you take pictures of the center of our galaxy, given it's a big black hole?
Well, one of the pictures I have technically shows the center of the galaxy, but it's, you know, you're not going to see the black hole, and you can see the effects of it. It's only recently that the James Webb spacecraft was actually taking pictures of the black hole from our own galaxy. But I'm afraid you're not going to see it in any of the photos.
Yes.
There are certain effects that you can see from like gravitational lensing. It gets very, very complicated, but there are certain effects that you can see in some galaxies where you can tell it is a black hole from there, but you're not actually photographing the black hole.
Yeah. Itself. And what parts of the world, or do you have to go to different parts of the world, depending on what part of the sky you need to photograph?
Well, we're kind of in an odd position. Effectively, we've been in Ireland. We're a little bit too south to get the aurora, except for we had the two major outbursts this year. Mm. And we're kind of a little bit too far north to get the Milky Way. You know, it doesn't quite go overhead. So further south is kind of better because that Milky Way core, as we say, looking towards the center, is higher in the sky, so it's easier to photograph. But then you have things like a solar eclipse, which is just the best thing you'll ever see, never mind photograph. And for that, you need to get into a 150-kilometer wide band at the right time for a couple of minutes. Cloud could come in and ruin it for you. So that's you definitely travel for the solar eclipses. That's stressful, but it's great fun.
And is it more southern parts of the planet, would they be better for that?
Well, certainly if you were in around the equator or the southern hemisphere, the Milky Way is directly overhead. So you've not only do you have hours and hours to shoot it, whereas, you know, here it just kind of skims the horizon. You know, it's dark for them during the summer. So the other problem we have is that our Milky Way is only around for about 6 months of the year. And you're talking like 4 a.m. in March until kind of 10 p.m. You have to hit it in September. But it's not dark here in June and July. So a lot of people will take their cameras and they'll go off to, say, Tenerife, and they'll take Milky Way shots. That's what we call astro holidays, because you just can't shoot it in Ireland at that time of year. So we are at a serious disadvantage here. But we do have fantastic foregrounds to kind of make landscape shots of those Milky Way when the time comes.
And when you travel around the place, do you bring your own telescope with you, or can you piggyback on other ones?
Well, you can do a bit of both. If I'm going to the West Coast, it's a DSLR and a small little star tracker and a tripod. If I'm going on an astro holiday, like the last one was for the eclipse, I've got a small telescope. It's just 60 millimeters wide, but it's fantastic quality. Star tracker again, so that it can counteract the Earth's movement to keep the object in the center. So a portable little setup is what I use for those shots. But I built my own observatory in the south of France, so I control that from home.
Ah, and right.
That's where my main telescopes are.
If you're taking a photograph and it's a very long exposure, then is the movement of the Earth a factor in the sense that it might blur what you're getting?
Absolutely, yeah. So for things like what I'd call a wide field telescope, like maybe half a meter focal length, you can probably only take a photo of 1 or 2 seconds. So we'll put those on motors and they'll rotate against the Earth, keeping the star's center. And of course, the longer focal length you use, so then once you start moving into taking, say, galaxy shots and you're hitting a 1 meter focal length, you of course need bigger, more accurate motors. So the equipment level, unfortunately, gets a bit exponential in kind of complexity and the specs that are needed for it. But yeah, you're right. It's all about taking long exposures to get the detail. But the longer the exposure, the better you need to track the stars.
Yeah. Could you, is it possible? I don't know if people do this. Could you take photographs in orbit around our own planet, such as the space station?
Well, the big thing about the James Webb telescope is that it's in what's called a Lagrange point, where it's kind of effectively sat in one place and it can shoot photos away. The ISS guys will take very short exposure shots of maybe the aurora over the north and southern poles. And for that kind of thing, and even with the aurora here in Ireland, it's so bright that people were taking photos with their phones just for 1 or 2 seconds. Yeah, your hand will move a little bit, but it's not, you know, the overall effect is okay. So I think the aurora was fantastic for that. It got people out. People were using their phones. Everybody, you know, it was accessible to everybody to try and take a photo of it.
And I assume there's a community of people who do this. Is it a bit like fishing in the sense that there's a really big fish, no one's landed yet?
Well, I think 10 years ago, it might have been just a hardcore group of 10 or 20, 30 people, but there's definitely hundreds of people now who are trying it. And we're finding a lot of landscape photographers are want to give the nightscape shots a go. So that's where you're doing kind of a foreground shot with the sky shot. So everybody's kind of branching out a little bit, trying more. I mean, the clubs online on Facebook and that will have 10 and 20,000 users. I imagine most are just there to view pictures. But I reckon there's anywhere from a couple of hundred to 1,000 people doing this kind of regularly in Ireland, yeah.
Yeah. God, it sounds lovely. You can find out more about Tom's work at astrophotography.ie. And as he mentioned, he will be at Dublin's Art Source Fair this weekend. Tom O'Donoghue, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you. Any chance I can give a shout out to somebody?
Okay, sure.
Yes, I just want to say thanks to my friend John for his work on my website, for Tony Murray Imaging Studios in Naas, who prints my pictures, and for Niamh Harney down in Rathcoole for framing. Without their help, I wouldn't have these pictures ready for the weekend.
Okay, everyone gets a thank you. Take care, Tom. Sure. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thanks a minute. Cheers.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.